warming, or is it cooling now, or is it both warming and cooling? Whatever the government says, I believe them. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Notes. If global warming is for real, they won't put it that way, global warming happens and water rises 10 feet, this investment you made is not one single investment prospectus written since 2000, this century, has alluded to global warming. If it were really true, the banks wouldn't invest. The banks wouldn't finance. So the people that have the money, and I'm jealous of the Vice President Gore, I am jealous he came up with a scam before I did. Because the financial institutions, the banks of this world, know it's not going to happen. Otherwise, you couldn't get a loan in London. You know those 30, 40-year mortgages? The world will be over by then. Is Barclays Bank going to give you a loan? With the greatest respect, ma'am, it's the greatest fraud that's been perpetrated on mankind this century.
Hi there. Welcome back. Last hour, and welcome back to the Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. I have a great guest in this hour, and happy Constitution Day to all of you. Let's hope we remember to use it. It's hanging by a thread, but it's still in play, and we need to remember that. We welcome you back. Of course, go to katedalyradio.com for the podcast, and I'm excited to have Mark Morano on the show. Welcome, Mark. You run the website climatedepot.com. We're going to talk about climate change, the hustle, too. So many interesting things going on, and tell us a little bit about how you jumped onto this project. I'd love to hear.
Well, thank you. Thanks you for bet. Having me on, Kate. Yeah, first of all, the movie is Climate Hustle 2, mm-hmm. and it's climatehustle2.com. It's September 24th, 8 o'clock. It has actor Kevin Sorbo hosting.
Love it.
I serve as the investigative reporter in it. I've been doing climate now full time for about 15 years. I used to work in the United States Senate Environment mm-hmm. and Public Works Committee. I was the speechwriter, communication director, researcher, and did the 400 dissenting scientists report
wow.
back when Al Gore's movie came out.
Wow.
To answer back to that. So I've been at this a long time.
Yes,
and,
you have.
And my background is political science. I'm a political science degree. Mm-hmm. And I always say it's the perfect degree to examine global warming claims because this is not about the climate or science.
Oh, amen. Amen. If I hear Green New Deal one more time. So the title of this is Climate Hustle 2, The Rise of Climate Monarchy. And I love Kevin Sorbo. I know his wife, and I've spent some time with her, and just a fantastic couple. And they are always, always just seem to be on the right side of trying to figure out what in the world's going on with all of this. And I love it. And this is coming out online Thursday, September 24th, right?
Yes, September 24th. And it's going to be a live global event, 8 o'clock, no matter what time zone, country you're in, New Zealand, Africa, Europe. It's going to be an 8 o'clock at night rollout, and it's going to be special content. We're going to have Kevin Sorbo do a
nice.
Q&A. We have John Stossel, mini AOC, the little
yes,
girl
yes.
Oh, that's
who dresses
great.
And talks like AOC and actually
yes.
does more intelligent things. She's going to be hosting. So we're going to have a lot of fun with this. And the movie goes through everything, children indoctrination, Hollywood hypocrisy. It goes through the whole agenda, the wacky solutions. We have an NYU professor who wants to shrink human beings genetically so they can lower their carbon footprint and also put a meat patch on them so they won't eat meat. And we go into the Green New Deal and the UN Paris Agreement as well.
Does it just amaze you how they spin this? I mean, I'm always amazed at how they can spin it into everything. And I think the merging of COVID and climate change has been kind of hysterical, too. But this is the hill to die on for these leftists. This is the bought and sold scientists that prop this narrative up. They've been propping up the end of our demise every decade for five decades. But it even goes farther back than that. Right?
Yeah, I did a whole thing on tipping points. It goes back to 1864.
Mm-hmm.
There was a university professor who was talking about climatic excess, warning about it way back then.
Wow.
And also, I have a book out as well, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change.
I love it.
And, you know, I go through, we have in the first film, Climate Hustle 2, we did this. There are people who predicted we have minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades literally every one of those time frames, they've made predictions on tipping points. The most famous was the UN in 1989 gave us a 10-year tipping point in which we had to act. And, of course, 1999 expired, and then they still said we had new tipping points.
Exactly. Uncle Milty?
Well, I'm not sure about a lot of people, but last week I drove past the dairy farm, and I was immediately convinced methane gas is going to be our demise.
You know, the UN has done a whole report trying to outlaw cows and cow emissions and meat eating because of that.
My gosh. It's just insane, and I love that you call this edutainment, because really and truly, we need to be educated. Entertainment's one of the best vehicles to do this. This is why I'm so glad you're coming out with this. And we really do need to be educated on how much this is a part of the plan of the leftist progressives for a very long time. This is their control method.
Yes. I mean, you mentioned COVID climate. One of the things that just is shocking is the COVID lockdowns, how they parallel. In fact, John Kerry said, you know, this is amazing. The solutions to climate change and COVID are exactly the same.
Oh, geez.
And the solutions are always the same. Going back to the 1960s.
Right.
You know, we show, no matter whether it's overpopulation, resource scarcity, famines, global cooling, the solution is always more government, central planning, sovereignty limiting treaties, redistribution of wealth, and giving the government massive power over every aspect of your life. And now we're finding out that COVID is the same solution. The climate activists from Al Gore to Greta, they are drooling and jealous over the COVID lockdowns.
I bet
the same thing for the climate lockdown.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even know what to say, because like you said, is one of the answers shrinking ourselves because we don't want the carbon?
Yeah.
I mean, the nonsense is just so unparalleled. And so why do you think after all these decades of telling us we were going to hit the demise, whether it was through being icicles or made into popsicles or, I don't know, frying like an egg in the Al Gore time, because that's when you came out with that, was during Al Gore. I can't even imagine. So why do you think people still want to believe? Why do you think they still get the crowd on board with this?
Well, I mean, what the climate activists have been doing for decades now is trying to scare people. And they've just largely failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has scared people? COVID has scared people. So that is why they are taking notes. We have now the World Economic Forum in Davos. Their head of it has come out and is now calling for a global green reset based on the COVID lockdowns, where we're going to rebuild in the image of an international Green New Deal, essentially. So they finally have fear. They use fear in order to get what they want. And what they want is not sellable to the public, to democracies, without that fear. In other words, they can never sell the climate agenda because they can never gin up fear, although they're trying with young people.
Mm-hmm.
But now with COVID, they're able to sell the fear, and we're getting exactly the solutions the climate activists wanted. End to air travel, a lockdown on economies, restrictions on our movement, all sorts of just regulations on every aspect of our life that the climate activists have sought for years. So they realize the power of fear. Climate was merely the latest environmental scare that had the same solution. They've used the climate scare to achieve their progressive ends of basically central planning. And that's what we show in the movie. We interview Václav Klaus, the former president of Czech Republic, who grew up under Soviet domination. And he says the greatest threat we face to individual liberty is what he calls the climate campaigners or ambitious environmentalism.
Jeez. I'm talking with Mark Morano, and this movie is going to be online Thursday, September 24th, 8 p.m. in your local time zone, anywhere in the world. And of course, it's the 2020 Climate Hustle, Climate Hustle 2. And it's the rest of that title is The Rise of Climate Monarchy. And that is the truth. Boy, are we looking at so much power given to this. This is their hill to die on. And so, you know, Mark, did you get pushback? Because I know that, of course, Hollywood, everybody in Hollywood, they do not want a movie like this coming out. So did you get pushback?
We did. We're already, today, Media Matters for America, which is George Soros-funded group, the left wing, they've come out and they've said, Mark Morano, perhaps the most notorious climate denier in the U.S.
Oh, my gosh.
We're already getting, people are... Representative Jared Huffman of California called the film dangerous. He was asked about it on C-SPAN on a call-in, and he said these kind of movies are dangerous. essentially, these are dangerous ideas because they minimize the threat of climate change and the necessary solutions.
I applaud you on your new title.
Wow.
You're doing something right. I love this. Oh, my gosh. And this was 5 years in the making, right, to get this out?
5 years in the making, but all of it actually opens at Louis Versailles Palace in France. And we talk about the absolute monarchs who basically, and it goes right into our Hollywood hypocrisy section. It's basically those that don't follow the rules and live lavish lifestyles, imposing draconian regulations on the masses. And absolute monarchies and the climate campaign share the same attributes.
Wow. One thing, I'll tell you something. I've been grateful for President Trump in outing this since the very beginning, before he was even elected, and saying it's hooey and putting who he did in at the helm. I really appreciated him doing that. Has it helped, do you think? Has it helped turn some heads, at least, to this? You have your base that understands what's going on. But those that were, do you think it turned any heads on the other side? Has it?
Well, here's the problem. Trump has done a fantastic job of regulations, repealing, taking us out of Paris, UN climate agreement, overturning Obama's executive orders. But he has not had his government agencies reframe the climate debate. In fact, he had an opportunity to do a climate commission and didn't. But overall, he's been very positive. Mm-hmm. And there's talk of him in a second term, if he gets it, obviously, of doing this presidential climate commission, which would have prominent scientists pushing back for the first time against the United Nations science claim.
Wow. Amen. You know, we've never had a president talk about it the way he has. So that's actually shocked me.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal on the California wildfires at that briefing with Governor Newsom. He stood up to all that pressure.
Right.
And everything he said, I did a post at Climate Depot defending everything he said about global cooling, the uncertainty, the fires, not by climate.
Oh, I love it. I love this. And so you're going to see, it's gotten great reviews. Cal Thomas, who we've had on the show, said the film, no film debunks the faith of climate change cult better than Climate Hustle 2. This is coming out September 24th. Make sure and watch this, 8 o'clock in your time zone. And I'm glad that you're hard at work on this, because this really is their movement. This is their hill to die on. They're pinning all their hopes on the control that's going to come out of this Green New Deal, right?
They are. They've been planning this for decades, and they've got kids now. You have kids going to Capitol Hill saying, Mom and Dad trashed the planet, and it's up to our generation to clean it up. Thanks, Mom and Dad. They're turning kids against parents and indoctrinating them. But they have been waiting for this.
Right.
And if Joe Biden wins, we have the Green New Deal imposed upon us.
Wow. Mark Marana, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on. That was great.
It.
And, of course, we'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Like the United Nations upon a hilltop, all dressed in 70s garb. This just reminds me of the whole era that came about with it all goes to the world and the planet and kind of down with the American Constitution. That here we are on Constitution Day, and it's just that was on a hilltop in Italy, and they assembled all those people from all over the world, and it was 1971, and the message was, you're ruining the planet, we're going to save it. What do you mean we're ruining the planet? No, you just are. You're ruining it, and we're here with our solution. That was the start.
The week after that commercial first aired, I joined the Army.
Wow. I've got Uncle Milty with me. Thank you to Mark Marano, who was just on Tucker Carlson. And honestly, he takes a lot of shots for the politically incorrect guide to climate change. And, of course, Climate Hustle 2, the movie coming out September 24th. Mark your calendars on that. It'll be really good with Kevin Sorbo. So actor Kevin Sorbo. So, I just, you know, here we are on Constitution Day. We've had just such a great day talking about all of this, all of the things we've talked about, and it's been so much. And I want to open the phone lines to all of you, 888-673-1450. I would like to tell you three different cities. In fact, I think Milty's going to hit on New York, but I wanted to say this about Nashville. Nashville officials hid stats showing low coronavirus transmission in bars and restaurants. Yeah, you think? They had it in the emails. They suppressed the information they didn't want people to see. And so if anything, you cannot blame this on ignorance anymore. Here we are 8 months in. Ignorance is not at the helm. At the helm is this kind of garbage. Keeping stats down, not letting the public know, manipulating articles about stats right before government emergency orders are made or going to be made, all this kind of thing. So I just wanted to say that the emails coming out of Nashville mayor's office said that they basically were hiding the info from the public as they were locking them down. Another thing that happened too, Placer County in California. Now, we know how liberal California is, and they actually, the leaders there, terminate the COVID-19 health emergency, and the county head of public health resigned. Wow. That's huge. This is huge.
Because they weren't listening to him anymore?
Well,
they resigned?
I mean, yeah, Dr. Amy Sison.
Oh, her.
Yes. So they voted unanimously as a county board of supervisors. So wherever you're listening to this show from...
Your county can do it.
Your county can do this. They just refuse to, and they act like they have no integrity and character. And honestly, do they? I don't know. But they actually act like they have to ask for permission for freedom, and no matter where you live. So this county in California voted unanimously to terminate the local health emergency they passed regarding COVID-19 on March 3rd. And then she resigned her post, of course.
And took her ball and went home.
And took her ball and went home. Yes. Or her very comfortable shoes in this particular situation. Anyway, she's an interesting cat. So anyway, the county supervisors advisors wrote that most deaths are not by COVID, but with COVID, arguing that California is exaggerating the death toll of the virus by including people with underlying health complications. Mm-hmm. Amen. Because only 6% actually, they say, had COVID. Who even knows if that's even, I mean, that's even a shooting high. Yeah. But I just wanted you guys to know that it can be done. And this county, the counties can, if they get enough pushback, and support from their people, you can do this.
You wanted to say constituents.
I did. I couldn't think of the word. I'm a little brain fried
so,
right now.
You know, we're starting to see what our governors are really made of through this.
Yes.
All across the country, governors are looking pretty ridiculous. But... You know, New York is famous right now for lots of wealthy people leaving the state over taxation.
Mm-hmm.
So Governor Murphy of New Jersey, being the intelligent man he is, has decided to raise taxes on the state's millionaires in New Jersey, expecting to raise $390 million in revenue if they don't move to Florida.
Okay. Jeez.
What
Alrighty
a moron.
Then. What a moron. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
I studied under some really great Bible scholars, and they always stressed, protect your credibility.
Yeah.
And they've squandered their credibility.
Yeah.
I don't trust them at all.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that.
Yeah, none of them has... 10 cents worth of credibility.
Yes. And, you know, what happened in Placer County with, and then, of course, Pennsylvania, where the federal judge ruled, you know, that Governor Tom Wolf's COVID restrictions are unconstitutional. There's momentum, guys.
Yes, there is.
We really need to take advantage of that. And if you're still in a state of emergency, I know my governor seems to think that an emergency lasts for almost a year. And so he's really excited about the states of emergency because it's all about raiding the coffers and getting money from the feds. And it's about control mostly. And so, especially when you're bought from China. like my governor is. I'm not sure about your governor, but if you're still in a state of emergency, there's no reason for that, obviously. And they need to be called out on this now. They need to finally have the public say no more. And the best way, I mean, honestly, if you're really looking for an easy way to do that, it's putting pressure on all the counties to do it. If all the counties do it, the governor has no power. The governor has zero power if the counties do not adhere to it. So take away the governor's power and put the genie back in the bottle and put him in his place. It's the only way to do it. But you got to have county commissioners and county people that are willing to listen to you, and with enough people telling them to do their job.
They will listen.
And defend liberty because they're closer to home. They might listen, yeah.
No, they might, because those county commissioners or county supervisors, depending on where you live, you know, their goal is to someday be governor.
Yes.
So they want to keep you happy.
Yes. Yes, they do. And they really do want to move up the food chain.
Oh, yeah.
So they know they can't if they are not making you happy. And don't be so blind as to say, oh, just keep begging. Just keep begging. We'll get there. No, that's not how this country works.
Yeah, keep telling them. Don't beg them.
Yeah, and ask them not to beg their governors. We just, you know, we like to talk about solutions on the show. And people come, hopefully, listening for solutions. Well, there's one. There's one. Counties can take the power away from the president. I mean, the governor, and we need to be doing that right now. It's just something we've got to do, actually. I don't know any other, well, you can sue too. There's another angle.
Yeah.
But really, immediately, the counties could do things.
Yeah. But just remember this. The only thing you have to fear is being enslaved.
Yeah. It's not, you know, just a little thing.
Yeah.
And can you believe this? So Bill Barr actually came out.
Speaking of being enslaved.
Speaking of being enslaved, he said, what a disgrace. And he got ripped for calling COVID-19 shutdowns the greatest intrusion of civil liberty since slavery.
Yes.
I like the statement. I wish he would do or could do more about these governors doing this to their people. But like Mike Mahari said, you're in a catch-22.
That's
you don't
right.
want to invite that kind of power.
And he says that.
You know,
Barr says that. You know, he actually heard him say one day, you don't want me to have that kind of power.
Mm-hmm.
So... He's turned out to be a lot better than I thought he was going to be.
I am glad that he did sync this with slavery for people. I'm glad that he said, you know, this is the greatest intrusion of civil liberty since slavery. Because I think, honestly, we really need to know where we're at. And sometimes when you're in the proverbial hot water, it's really hard to see.
Well, you know, it says something that Hillsdale College asked him to speak on at their Constitution Day event.
That's interesting.
Because Hillsdale College is a fairly conservative.
Yeah. Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
So there we go. So Obama.
Oh, no.
Ugh, I just threw up in my mouth. So Obama apparently revealed that he did this book, and it features, does it feature a Benghazi chapter? I don't think so. Called A Promised Land, An Honest Account Memoir. I can't even read this with a straight face. I'm sorry. A memoir from Obama. We know nothing about his real life, but we're supposed to meet a memoir about him abusing just practically everything that he did as president. And I can't imagine, but man, he's vying for the headlines was my point in bringing him up. Him and Michelle just really want to be part of the headlines. I've never, ever seen an ex-president so badly still want to be in the limelight like these two have wanted the last 4 years. It's been kind of amazing. Have you noticed that?
I can't believe he actually had the cojones to write a memoir.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
We'll just leave out all the scandals. Yeah. How many chapters? Zero. But that's basically where we're at, right? Because there were so many scandals, but he doesn't want anyone to look at that. And so I thought that was kind of amazing.
The title of his memoirs is A Promised Land. You can pick it up at any thrift store.
Gosh. Oh, or Walmart or Costco. Apparently, they're on the New World Order plan.
Oh,
they get to stay open while small businesses all got to fail months ago. So that's fun. Don't you just kind of wonder why those companies are so in bed with the feds? Interesting. Anyway, yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there. But I do want to ask everybody if they think that the next lockdown is more martial law. I brought this up with Mike Mehari from the 10th Amendment Center. But I'm actually wondering if you're thinking the same thing. Are we being set up for that? You know, a lot of people are talking in this way. Now, this isn't the first time in my 9 years on the radio that we've talked that way, that we've said this, okay?
Right.
We thought that that was going to happen in 2016, too, mm-hmm. and people really did think that. At the time, I remember thinking that, no, things go a lot slower, and no, it probably wouldn't happen. But, and I had people writing me, telling me I was off my rocker at the time. But right now, are we being set up for that with the election results of the presidency? We're all geared to only care about the president's election. And are we, do you envision that?
Well, they're coming out and saying it, actually, on both sides.
Right, right.
Both sides are saying, hey, this is the main deal. You know, this is the big show. And there's going to be a lot of violence if President Trump is reelected, or there's going to be a lot of violence if Biden is elected. They're pushing it like, wake up, people. We want you to be violent.
Wow. Well, guess we'll.
Yeah, well, violence is their reason for declaring martial law.
Sure.
They don't really have another legitimate reason.
Yeah.
But if instead of a half a dozen cities on fire, if they had, you know, 30 or 40 on fire,
right.
That would be a good enough reason.
Interesting. Because all along I've thought, well, they're going to just push up the flu numbers and that'll be the reason that they give health departments total authority in America.
Yeah.
Ousting the Constitution completely. But are we looking at maybe more martial law than we are trying to up the flu numbers that they've already, I mean, they've lost so much credibility now with this 8 months later that would it be more of that? I don't know. You know what? I'll take your calls right after the break. Stay on. KateDalyRadio.com. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. Yes, this is the Kate Daly Show.
I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience.
Listen to what they're saying on this.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, you're right, there ought to be a law. Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
Wow. Think about that, you guys. It's kind of amazing how in the 1970s this was played, right? And everybody remembers Schoolhouse Rock, right? And they make the bill look like, oh, I just want to become a law. I want every idea to become to become a bill, to become a law, to take away more freedom. And isn't this wonderful? And and look at my journey. And it's so exciting. And, oh, I just am so depressed. I'm not a law yet. Just make me a law. Do you guys realize how manipulated we've been through the years? It's amazing. It's astounding. By the way, I will take this caller, but just a second. I just wanted to make sure you go to Balance of Nature. Put in the code Kate. Order up right now. This is the time to order it. Make sure you have this in your arsenal at home. Make sure it's in your food pantry. Make sure you're taking it. Make sure you have extra. Balance of Nature is awesome. 31 fruits and vegetables. I know you're not going to eat today because you probably don't eat bushels of fruits and vegetables every single day. And the tomato on your burger is not the amount of servings that you need today. So, please, we've got to turn the tide on our food, on our nutrients that we're getting into our systems. Make sure you have Balance of Nature. Put in the code Kate, get 35% off and free shipping. You will love me for this. Trust me on this one. Go to balanceofnature.com. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hello, thank you.
You bet.
There's a book called An Enemy Hath Done This by Ezra Taft Benson.
Mm-hmm.
It was published in 1969. And anyone who appreciates your show, and your show, it's it's one of my main sources, if not the only source that I consider for political information.
Thank you.
Anyone who appreciates your show would appreciate this book. It literally could have been written just a few months ago, and it's so relevant to what's going on today. I think if everyone read it or reread it, we could all be on the same page with what's going on now. We could call what's going on now by what it really is, which is, I think, an intentional infiltration of communism into America. I think it's intentional. Yeah. It's on purpose. There's a plan behind it.
Yep.
I think that we just need to all be on board, all be on the same page, because I know everyone can see the problems, but as far as coming up with a solution, I think we need to get to the very core of what's going on, and then we can come up with solutions.
And the name of the book again?
It is called An Enemy Hath Done This by Ezra Taft Benson.
Awesome. He worked also in the Department of Agriculture and had a little meeting with Russia where Russia told him that we would be communist within a few generations. So I thank you for that. Really, really appreciate the call. Thank you. I love that kind of info for the show.
Well, anything that will help bring all of us to the same page right now will help.
I agree. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I've been catching up on your last few days of shows in podcast form. And had two little points I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
You were talking about the Democratic Party and how they've been controlled and how it's, you know, basically political theater. And
both sides are, actually.
Yes, exactly. But the Republicans are part of that to create the illusion that, oh, if I'm not supporting, you know, this huge plan from the Democrats, then the smaller plan from the Republicans is, you know, so much better.
Right? Yeah, no, that's not true. In fact, both sides of the aisle are completely screwing us right now. And they have been for over 100 years. And also on that same note, I think I was talking about the Bolsheviks. You know, it was really easy to co-opt the Democrat Party because of the love for more and more government. And so there was an ease there. But there's also the bought and sold faction of the Republican Party that goes along and never does a thing about what is going on with those individuals as far as the Communist Party USA is involved. And so you've got one that wants to speed train it there and one that's allowing it. So they're both at fault. Yep. They're both, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like fighting between racing towards the edge of a cliff at 50 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour.
Exactly. So. Yep. I'm with you on that.
My other thing was you were talking about Arya Demetso, the Satanist anarchist that is nominated for sheriff for the GOP in New Hampshire.
Yes.
And actually, she is one of the co-hosts of a radio show in New Hampshire that I've been listening to for a couple of years. And like you say with Trump, like sometimes the image of that you see on front isn't really what you get. And she actually understands the principles of liberty quite well. So
really?
So if I were in New Hampshire, I would actually probably be supporting Arya.
That is really good to know. I'll look more into her.
Of what liberty is. So
you know what? That's go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
That radio show is called Liberty Talk Live, I believe.
Okay. You know what? I will actually, because of your call, I'm going to look into that more. And I really appreciate that because you're right. You can't always judge the book by its cover. And the cover is really out there. But you know what, though? I'm willing to look at it. Sure. I like that. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Huh.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I'm going to take a look at that. I really am. That was the transgender
Satanist.
That got sheriff, right?
Well,
New Hampshire.
She won the GOP primary for sheriff.
Yes.
Because nobody paid attention to what was going on.
Yep.
But maybe that's not the
case.
That's
very interesting.
Is people like her stand on liberty.
Well, it would just be very interesting to be a Satanist and then on the side. I don't know. I got to see that contradiction.
A transgender Satanist on the side of liberty.
All right. I'm going to actually look into it. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, earlier, Kate, you were talking about, well, some of it, I mean, I've been listening for a while, wanted to call in, and you were talking about the next plan for the whole entire, what are they going to, next the thing, is
yes.
the lockdown or this? Actually, when I look into my little crystal ball, because back a year ago, my crystal ball, we were already looking at the problem they were having, what we called the repo market. Mm-hmm. In other words, more people were wanting money out of the banking system than the banking system had in its system. So they were having to go through overnight purchase. The Fed was having to pump money into the system to keep it running. Well, then all of a sudden the pandemic comes along and they pump all this money into the system. And that was the reason to cover for that. So now what's the next thing they're going to have? They're going to have to do this again. Hmm. My opinion is the next thing, the plan, and the next one is you have radicalized the Democrat Party to a point that they are anarchists and arsonists now. They're out. Mm-hmm. That is what that party has become a symbol of. And they put forth the weakest presidential candidate in history.
Right.
In a way to set it up to lose, to frustrate those people who they've radicalized, who will then turn around and will have to declare in martial law because they're burning down the entire cities of America.
Mm.
And that's going to be the next one.
Wow. All right.
Because that was what happens after the November election. Mm-hmm. When Trump wins and all of them go crazy.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll digest that one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, scary.
That's
thank
my
you.
Favorite theory.
Yeah, thank you. Well, yeah, I mean,
no, it really
absolutely,
is.
That's, yeah.
That's what I see happening.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
Wow. What are we up against, people? Now, I was just thinking about, you know, it's Constitution Day, and I was just thinking about how brainwashed we've been. And when I played that Bill song, it really hit me within schools and really what we're up against in all the years of indoctrination. Do you want to know something? I added up conservatively the time I have spent researching government, not only for this show and reading in general on government, but also the show itself too. Okay. So the 3 hours of show and a very conservative 5 other hours of my day, because honestly, it's more like 7, 8, but I just went with a conservative number of 5. Do you know, for the length of time that I've been doing this, it equates to a very conservative number of that would be 25,000 hours of study dedicated to this. And you know, the indoctrination has been so strong that I still have my, of course, I know I do, cognitive dissonances towards things. Of course, mm-hmm. I'm still very much aware of that. And you have to be. You have to be very self-aware to understand where you have to be open to, right? To change and to understand things as we go. And a lot of you have been with me on my journey of this last 9 years. 25,000 hours.
That's a little bit.
You know, but how many people won't even do 10 hours? I mean, what I'm saying is like, this is what it's taken for me to finally understand what's going on. Can you even imagine? Like, not everyone's going to do 25,000 hours. I mean,
no, but they need to do some baby steps. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
I mean, some things are pretty simple to understand.
Yes, yes.
Why, you know, the president went off yesterday pretty big mm-hmm. about voter fraud.
Right.
And so what reason, if let's say you live in Georgia uh-huh. and the judge Eleanor Ross in Georgia changed the arrival deadline for absentee ballots from 7 p.m. election day uh-huh. and gave you an extra 3 days for that uh-huh. without a postmark.
Right.
What is the valid reason for doing that?
Ooh.
Ask yourself that question. What is a legitimate
yeah.
It's always been 7 p.m. on election day.
Right,
it's
right.
always worked.
Yeah.
Why this year does it have to be changed?
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? Before I take this caller real quick, you know, I know that Trump, and I actually am not giving him a pass on this because he's been out in the press saying some oddball things about the vaccinating thing and anti-vaccination. But I have thought, though, that it was his way of doing kind of a checkmate for the election, because it was like, okay, you guys said all this would end with the vaccine. We're going to rush it through. Everybody take it. Yeah, it's not forced, but it's promoting it, right? Because it's the checkmate. They don't have any other way out because they've said that the vaccine would be the way out of this, yep. right? And otherwise, they can mess with the election and how we vote and everything else by claiming all these things in all these counties. And so that's why. Anyway, hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I sure. was just going to make that exact point.
Oh, no way.
So thank you for doing it for me. But I also wanted to just throw props out because it's Constitution Day to James Madison.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's not on the National Mall. If there's a statue that should be up, it should be James Madison. And if any of you have opportunity to go out to Orange County, Virginia, where Montpelier is, where he lived, you can sit up in that library where he sat for an entire year studying all the governments of the world, what worked, what didn't work, why it worked, why it failed, and took out of that and built the Virginia plan that he took to the Constitutional Convention to redo this country into what we have today. He is the most underrated of the founding fathers, and really he should be in the National Mall more than, you know,
amen.
More than others.
Amen. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate that. Thank you. I love the point. And yeah, I do think it's a checkmate. I'm glad that he was going to make the same point. I do think, for some reason, that's the sense I got right away when I heard him talking about it. There were little things he was saying, and I thought, he's trying to checkmate it.
He's calling their bluff.
Yeah, he's calling their bluff is what he's doing for the election. It has nothing to do with the vaccine.
No,
that's why people get caught up on that, and then they go, oh, I guess he's, you know. And yes, of course, everybody knows the Rothschilds were the ones that paid for the hotels. Everybody gets this, okay? But is there also some of the things that he has done completely against their plans, right? And so I'm always looking at both sides of that, and I'm actually going to do a YouTube today on it. I'm going to do a YouTube. I'm going into some more detail on this. It'll be available tonight. Check it out on YouTube because I'm going to do kind of a state of the state's address and where we're really at in government. Let's just call it. Let's just say it. And of course, you know, as I've looked at both sides of the Trump argument of who he's really working for, what is really going on, I'll actually kind of give you my synopsis on it. But yeah, I do. I actually thought from the second I heard it, I thought he's checkmating. This has nothing to do with the vaccine, because he actually kept saying over and over again that we wouldn't want this vaccine. And I was laughing about it. You remember laughing about that on the show?
Yes, we were
laughing because we thought, you know, he's telling people they don't want it. It's garbage. He knows it. He's smart enough to know that because he's been talking about vaccines for a long time. So this isn't like new. And anyway, and he's been meeting with Dr. Batar's team on vaccinations. And Dr. Batar I had on the show, he's amazing, and he called out the whole COVID lie and everything else. And so his administration's been reaching out to him continuously for advice and everything else. So I know they know better. So anyway, always kind of look beyond a little bit too. Anyway, be faithful, be fearless. Thank you. I just played the wrong one going out. And, you know, it's just, you know what? It's one of those days. What can I say? There we go. And, of course, thank you, Uncle Milty. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you. And, tomorrow, fun guests. And I'll announce those tonight on Facebook. And, of course, everybody have a good one.